The Catechism of the Church points out Jesus' presence at the wedding feast at Cana and says that his presence there is the acknowledgement of his esteem for the institution of marriage. And it also ties his presence there to the institution of the sacrament of marriage. And indeed, if you look through all of the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, you find that God really loves marriage. He loves marriage. The whole Bible begins with the story of the creation of man and woman and their union. And it ends in the book of Revelation with the wedding feast of the Lamb. And all in between, we have very, very many examples where God is speaking to us about marriage. We have one of those examples in the first reading where it says that God will take his people to himself and be espoused to his people. So when we look at the church's teachings on marriage and God's design for Christian marriage, we begin to understand the depth of that teaching and really appreciate its beauty. I think it's easy for us to understand why it is that marriage is so very much under attack. And not only in our days, but I think it has been from the very beginning. In our day, there are very many cultural attacks on marriage. We have only to think, for example, of the recent redefinition of marriage itself. We can think of the presence of polygamy in our world, in our country still. You know, it's not the case that if one marriage is good, two marriages is better. What about the proliferation of pornography, the pushing of contraception and the availability of abortion, all these different kinds of things in our world actually come against the institution of marriage and the family. And we know very well that it isn't just outside cultural influences that are, you know, that are against or attacking marriage sometimes, but also even within the context of an individual marriage itself. We know that the enemy is often at work trying to divide, trying to drive a wedge between couples. You know, sometimes spouses find it difficult to forgive, or they find that resentments build up over the years, or, you know, they find it's difficult to experience the joy and the excitement that was experienced very early on in the marriage. There's all kinds of different ways where couples find it difficult. I'm not married, and I still see. I've talked to many married couples. It's not easy. You may have heard the statistic that roughly half of marriages these days end in divorce. And that's true pretty much across the spectrum, whether Christians or not. But I want to share a statistic with you that I heard when I was in seminary, and I was in a class where we were studying marriage and family issues. And the professor, who was a Redemptorist priest, told us about a study that had been done. And the study concluded that practicing Catholics who kept practicing their faith, Catholics who married in the church and who were seeking to live their marriage according to the church's teachings, had a divorce rate that was, guess, under 1%. Under 1%. I mean, it would be pretty neat if it was even under 40% or under 30%, but under 1%, which, you know, doesn't make me think, oh, Catholics are just stronger people than all the rest or something like that. No, we have our weaknesses just like everyone else. But it does make me think that the church must have some wisdom in what the church teaches about marriage. And I only have a few minutes, so I can't really go into the great depth of what the church teaches about marriage. But you can sum up the church's teachings on marriage in four basic points. Four aspects that characterize the love of husbands and wives. That love, married love, is free, total, faithful, and fruitful. Free, total, faithful, and fruitful. Love is free, not coerced. You know as well as I, and I've said it before, you can't force someone to love you. But also the way one enters into a marriage, they must choose freely, day after day, to love. So that freedom, total freedom, must be there. Totality in marriage. No reservations. You're asked on the day of your marriage, have you come here freely and without reservation to give yourselves to each other in marriage? It's not, yes, I'll give you most of me, but there's this one part of my heart that you can't have. No, it requires totality. I give myself completely to you. Freedom, totality, faithfulness. No matter what happens, spouses are faithful to the very end. This is a characteristic of true love in marriage. We know very clearly that there are difficulties that arise. Anytime any two people are in relationship, there's bound to be some difficulty. But by the grace of God, the marriage is designed to be always faithful. Spouses are to be faithful to the very end. Free, total, faithful, and fruitful. When spouses have an openness to receiving the gift of life from God, they experience the love of God in a more profound way. That's the basic teaching of the church on marriage. Now, why is the church so insistent on holding to this truth? Why is it that the Catholic Church is usually the one that's piping up when, you know, the prospect of redefinition comes up or all these different things? Because the church believes that marriage is a sacrament. And as a sacrament, the church teaches, marriage is it makes visible the invisible love of God. And so the way that spouses love one another visibly for others to see helps us to really understand and experience how God loves. We said, you know, in the first reading, God wants to take us to himself as a spouse. Well, what does that mean? It means that God's love for us is free, total, faithful, and fruitful. God loves us freely. He doesn't have to love us because he's God. Say, well, I guess I'll love you because it's part of the deal, being God and everything. God chooses to love us. He desires to love us, and he does. God's love is total. He holds nothing back from us. He's not counting our sins, and when we get to 5,675 sins, he says, whoop, you have reached your quota. I can no longer forgive you. Good luck to you. See you later, maybe. No, God's love is total. God withholds nothing. And that's how God wants us to love him as well, holding nothing back, having no reserve. Faithfulness. God's love is faithful. Loves us to the very end. Never stops loving. Never stops forgiving. And his heart is totally set on us. He's not interested. I mean, he is interested in everyone, but he doesn't wander. His interests in us don't change. And God's love for us is fruitful. When we enter into this relationship of love with God, we find that that relationship bears fruit in the joy that is in our life, the peace, the contentment, the satisfaction, the goodness and the kindness that we express toward others. A true and strong bond of love with God bears fruit. It's interesting that in the gospel, where John presents to us the first miracle of Jesus, it's at a wedding feast and he's bringing wine. And not just a couple bottles. We're talking 120 to 180 gallons, roughly, of wine. This must have been quite the party. But, of course, wine in the scriptures is a symbol of joy and the enjoyment of the good things of life. So Mary goes to Jesus and says, they have no wine. It means their joy is gone. We're in danger of this situation where we're not enjoying the things of life. Jesus brings the wine. He brings the joy, the good things in life. And perhaps that's symbolic that when we look at marriages in our community, in our families, among our friends, look at those marriages and work on them, try to improve and strengthen them according to Jesus' plan, God's plan for marriage, then along with that comes an increase in joy, an increase in satisfaction and peace. We know very well that many struggle. This is a year of mercy. And many people have gone through the pain of divorce. But God reminds us that his mercy conquers all. So, we ask God for the grace to conform our marriages to his plan, but also to open our hearts to his mercy for healing and peace for those who are in great need of it. Who knows? Maybe Jesus will change the water of our pain and our suffering into the wine of his joy and peace.